can start.
So a few reminders. First of all, homework session today at 6 p.m. Second, class photo at 10:55. And I have to remind you that the goal for the next one or two classes, last week it said two or three classes, so it makes sense, is to prove that a certain quantum field theory computes the linking number. Okay? And maybe I want to add a few words. So first of all, what's written here is the integral over the space of all one forms on R3 of, for any given one form, you look at the exponential of e to the, well, some constant, tau is 2 pi, times a wedge dA integrated on R3, right? If a is a one form, dA is a two form, a wedge dA is a three form, it can be integrated over R3. So this is sort of the measure, or the weight, and against this weight, you integrate the integral of A over one component of a link and the integral of A multiplied by the integral of A over the second component of a link. And the claim is that this is somehow related to the linking number. But one word before that, sort of first of all, why would you expect this to be a topological invariant? The answer is, well, if you look at this, no metric property of R3 was used in writing this integral, okay? To write this integral, the only thing that was used was integration of three forms on R3 and integration of one forms on a contour. And both of these do not depend on any metric properties. So it might be reasonable to expect that the end result will not depend on any metric properties, will not depend on anything that requires measurement, distances between things. Meaning it would be a topological invariant. And, you might also expect this topological invariant to be nonsense, but it isn't, okay? But at least I've explained why you would expect it to be a topological invariant. Now, there might be lots and lots of difficulties on the way of showing that it's topological invariant. So the measure might be implicitly metric dependent. Okay? But it isn't. Okay? The formula has no value until it is interpreted and proven to be an invariant by other means. Okay. Anyway, and the second point is sort of, what is the kind of further philosophical point? So the further philosophical point is that it's very difficult a priori to construct not invariants, to construct topological invariants in general, because you don't know, you have a thing and you want to generate a number out of it, but the thing kind of wants to move around. You don't know where to catch a number from, okay? But the moment you have a one form, or the moment you have a geometric structure, it's much easier to get numbers, okay? But then the result depends on the geometric structure. So then you integrate over all possible choices of the geometric structure, and you get sort of an average over all possible geometric structures, and then And then you've gotten rid of the dependence on that structure. Okay? But again, that's philosophy, and making it work is difficult. Anyway, the goal for today is to show that it works. And then the goal for next time will be to add a few words to that. Okay. But let me remind you, this looks like the integral of an exponential of a quadratic. So first of all, I wanted to study the integrals of exponentials of quadratics. And the idea was to study them in Rn, get formulas that work more or less independently of the dimension, and then pretend that the same formulas work in infinite dimensional spaces. So the only thing we did last time, well, actually, last time we did a little bit more because we used it to compute volumes of spheres just for fun. But the main thing we did last time was to compute the basic Gaussian integral on Rn, and the result is the square root of tau to the power n. Again, I remind you that tau stands for what used to be called 2 pi. Okay. So a few comments. Okay, so first of all, what if I do the integral over r of e to the minus, and instead of just taking this quadratic, let me take an arbitrary quadratic. But over r there is only one quadratic, right? Lambda times x squared. So e to the minus lambda x squared over 2 dx. So by a change of variables, so by replacing x by x over square root of lambda, you find that this is square root of tau over lambda. Okay? And alternatively, sort of here's how a physicist would say, today is physics day, right? It's Friday. So here's how a physicist would say that. Let's say x is measured in meters. Okay? Then, since we exponentiate something, well, you can only exponentiate pure numbers. You cannot exponentiate a meter, something that has units. Right? So lambda must have units of 1 over square root of a meter. Okay? Because this would be meters squared, so this has to be... So lambda must look like 1 over the square root of meters. Okay? But then... One over meter squared, right? Because we square a meter. But then the result of the exponentiation is a pure number, unitless number. But then we integrate dx. Dx has the same units as x, so it's in meters. So the end result here is in meters. So this must be also in meters. But the only thing you can write in meters, and which involves only lambda, is 1 over square root of lambda. Right? And the concept of proportionality was fixed by the previous computation. So that's how a physicist would say change of variables. Really what I said was change variables, but I mean, that's the physics way of saying it. Anyway, now let's do the same thing in Rn. Okay, so now suppose you have the integral over Rn of a general quadratic. And first of all, let me write what a general quadratic is. So a general quadratic would be, here are two ways of writing what it is. Either minus 1 half lambda ij x to the I, xi xj. So this is the ith coordinate of the integration variable dx, and this is the jth coordinate. I use superscripts in this context. And then lambda ij is a certain symmetric matrix. So another way is to just call this matrix capital lambda, and then symmetric means lambda equals lambda transpose. Okay? And I use the Einstein summation convention. So really this means sum over I and j running from 1 to the dimension to n. But I'm not right. But the convention is to omit summations when an index appears twice, once as a lower index, once as an upper index, the assumption is that it is summed over. Okay? Now here's a different way of writing the same thing. So I could write it as the integral over Rn of e to the minus 1 half the inner product of X with the matrix lambda applied to X. It's the same thing. And here you see that, well, for the integral to make sense, you want you want the integrand to go to zero at infinity, or to oscillate at infinity. So either you put here an I, and then it will oscillate at infinity, and then it will make sense no matter what, or this has to go to infinity at infinity, because I'm multiplying it by a minus sign, and that means that this has to be positive definite, that lambda has to be positive definite. So lambda should be positive definite. Okay, let me write it in full. Positive definite. Or else I should put an I here and then worry a little bit more about how to make sense of the oscillations. But at least there's a chance. Okay? So what do we get? So, I think there is a theorem in linear algebra, but I haven't taught it myself, so I... So anyway, I think there is a theorem in linear algebra saying that any symmetric matrix can be diagonalized by an orthogonal transformation. So orthogonal transformation will mean no Jacobian. Okay? So, and then it is diagonalized, and when it is diagonalized, it looks like, so you can replace it by a matrix that looks like lambda 1 up to lambda n, where all of the lambda i's are greater than zero. And then variable, relative to each xi, you have an independent integration of the type written over here. So overall, we get the product over I, well, I goes from 1 to n, of the square root of tau divided by lambda I. But then the square root of the product of all the eigenvalues is the determinant. So I can rewrite it as tau to the n over 2 divided by the square root of the determinant. So square root of the determinant of lambda. Okay? Okay. All of this is in fact completely irrelevant. We just needed, I just needed it for like everything is up to a constant. This is the constant that we don't care about, but it's still nice to know that it's computable. Okay? Now let's talk about the part that we really care about. Okay? So what we really care about is how to compute the integral of a quadratic times a polynomial in the variable. Right, this is something linear in A, this is something linear in A when you multiply two things that are linear in A, or in general I may want to put more if I had a more link with more components. So you want to know, you want to know what you get. Okay, so my next challenge is to figure out the integral over Rn of a polynomial in the variable x times e to the minus 1/2 x inner product lambda x quantity dx, and I hope I have it right, and this is what I really care. Okay, this is the the next few lines are very important, much more than these. Okay, so first trick is to switch to generating functions. Okay, it's usually called I can write it without saying the word generating functions, but it's worth noting that what I'm doing is I'm looking at the generating function of all such integrals when you take all possible polynomials, meaning you take x to the n here, and so this, sorry, x to the k here as a polynomial, and then multiplied by some constant, I think I called it y in my note. So you look at, you replace x, you take y to the k times x to the k, you sum over all possible k's, and then you get a power series in y whose in which the coefficient of y to the k is the integral that you get when you write, when you have here the polynomial x to the k. It's actually, you get better formulas if you divide by k factorial. This is a generally true thing about Taylor series. And you see, if you divide by k factorial, this is really e to the xy. So the idea is to compute once and for all the integral of e to the minus 1 half x lambda x plus xy, right? I mean, if I put here e to the xy, the exponentials combine, and I get this, where y is a new variable, and, well, integrate dx. Well, but now, how do I extract the original integral? So how do you extract from a generating function the kth element of a sequence? Well, you take the generating function and you differentiate it k times and then evaluate at zero. So this is true for any individual x to the k, so it will be true for any polynomial. So you apply the polynomial p evaluated at d to dy, and take this whole quantity and compute it at y equal to zero. Now, that might have been hard to follow. Okay, I kind of constructed this by thinking about generating functions and seeing what happens. But once I have the formula, verifying it is completely trivial. Namely, every time you differentiate this with respect to y, well, the derivative of an exponential is the exponential itself times the internal derivative, right? So every time you differentiate this with respect to y, it will pull down an x to before the exponential. So when you differentiate it with a, you know, when you apply a polynomial in d to dy to this, you will get the corresponding polynomial in x as a prefactor multiplying this exponential. Then you integrate and evaluate the result at y equals zero. This drops the last term, and you're just left with what you wanted. Okay, so verifying the result is completely trivial. Oh, I should have said something further. So really what I mean here is, well, this is a polynomial in several variables, in all the xi, and this is the same polynomial where y is also a living in Rn. So here, y also belongs to Rn, and in fact, the coordinates of y should be written with lower indices. And then this is d to dyi. And this really stands for the inner product, so it's the sum of xi multiplied by yi. Okay? So, you know, this is really a polynomial of several variables applied to several differential operators. Anyway, so now I want to compute, okay, so you know, I'll copy the differentiation. So this is, again, it's a vector of derivatives. It's a list of derivatives fed to a multivariable polynomial. And I want to evaluate this integral. But you see, this is a Gaussian with well, this is a quadratic plus a linear, so it looks like this. And it's always nicer to switch to a system of coordinates in which is centered at the extrema of the Gaussian. So that's what I'll do. So this is equal to, okay, so let's try to do it. So it's the integral on Rn of e to the minus 1/2. And then it will be x minus something, the inner product of x minus something, comma, lambda x minus something, right? This is the motion, the change of variables that I need to do, where the somethings should be chosen so that the part linear in x will be the same part linear in x here. Okay? So, I guess it's quite trivial what it is. I mean, I want... Okay, how will I get something linear in x? I will get this x multiplied by the new term. And so then, so this x multiplied by lambda times the new term must give me the inner product of x and y. So this must be lambda inverse of y. Okay? And if you don't believe, okay, now I put it here as well. And if you don't believe, you open parentheses. You get x lambda x, which is what I wanted. You get x y, but with a factor of 1/2. Oops, sorry, it should be a plus perhaps?
There's a minus sign there.
So minus 1/2.
Oh, there is a minus here and a minus here, right. Yeah. So I got 1/2 of what I wanted, but the other half comes from the symmetry. So the other half comes from lambda inverse of y multiplied by lambda x. And since x is symmetric, you can move one lambda from one side of the inner product to the other, and it will cancel this lambda inverse. Okay? So this is fine, and we got, sorry, there isn't any eraser. And we got the part quadratic in X and linear in X, right? But here there is no part independent of X. However, here there is a part independent of X. There is a part of degree 0 in X. The part of degree 0 in X is minus 1/2 lambda inverse Y, comma, lambda inverse Y. So we need to get rid of it. So we have to add the negative of this. Okay? So we have to add the inner product, well, but this amounts to the inner product of O of Y with lambda inverse of Y. Okay? And now this is equal. 1/2. No, it's lambda inverse. There is a lambda inverse here and a lambda inverse here. Okay. These two cancel and you're left with lambda inverse. Right. Okay? Okay, so this is Okay, now again, if you don't believe, okay, sorry, this is integration dx and at y equals 0, and if you don't believe, you just expand, everything here is happening in the exponential. It's not, it's linear algebra, okay? Anyway, so what do we get? Well, okay, first of all, this part is independent of the integration variable, so I can pull it out of the integral. So I get a polynomial in d to dyi multiplied by acting on e to the 1/2 y inner product lambda inverse of y. And then what I'm left with is the integral of this piece. But this piece is up to a translation by lambda inverse y, and we're integrating with respect to Lebesgue measure, so with respect to a translation invariant measure, this is equal to the integral of e to the minus 1/2 x lambda x, which we've already computed. Okay? So this is, well, this can be computed once and for all, and we already did, so we get tau to the n over 2 divided by the square root of the determinant of lambda times the polynomial p acting on d to the dyi acting on e to the 1/2 y lambda inverse y evaluated and at y equals to 0. And the main point to note is that there is no integration left. We're done, right? So there is messy combinatorics in differentiating an exponential with respect to a polynomial in several derivatives and evaluating at y. So there's messy combinatorics here, but no integration left. So this combinatorics later on will become Feynman diagrams. Okay, the combinatorics of Feynman diagrams. But for now, I want just a simple part of it. And the simple part is the part that I care about, when the polynomial is in itself a quadratic. So let's do it on this side. So, example, or the simplest case of that, is the case where you compute the integral of xi, xj, so just a quadratic polynomial, e to the minus 1/2 lambda ij, xi, xj. I guess I alternate between different ways of how to write quadratics, okay, depending on my mood, dx. So, okay, what is this? So this is d to dyi, sorry, d to dyi, d to dyj of the quantity written here. Let me write this quantity as e to the 1/2 lambda upper ij, yi, yj, where lambda upper ij is the matrix entries of lambda inverse. So lambda inverse is lambda upper ij. Remember that lambda was lambda lower ij. And a different way of saying it, is to say that when you multiply lambda with lambda inverse, you get the identity. So if you write lambda ij and then multiply it by lambda upper jk, you get the identity. So delta ik, this is the Kronecker delta. I'm becoming more and more of a physicist. which is fine, right? Which is what Friday was advertised to be. Anyway, all of this at y equals to zero. But now, let's compute it. So, you differentiate with respect to yj. Well, I want to do it in my head, okay? So, in words rather than write it, okay? You differentiate it with respect to yj, it drops down a 1/2 lambda ij yi. You differentiate with respect to yi, the second derivative must act on the yi that has been dropped down, because later I'll evaluate at y equals to zero. So if I don't eliminate the yi that's been dropped down, the whole thing will fall because of the y equals to zero. So the first derivative acts on this 1j and drops it down. The rest down. The second derivative acts on the yi, and the result is therefore 1/2. The result is the constant, so tau to the n over 2 divided by the square root of the determinant of lambda times 1/2 lambda ij. But I lied, because really, z's I and j are not the same as z's I and j. Here there is a summation over all I and j's, and these are fixed I. These are dummy variables that are summed over, and this is a, these are specific I and j. So really, I should have written it, I should have called it kl and do kl here. Okay? And really, what happens here is that within the summation over L, I have to consider the there will be a case where J is equal to L. And then you will get, this will drop down the way I said it. But there is will also a case where YJ is, where J is equal to K. Okay? So, really you will get this term twice, and therefore the 1/2 drops. Okay? Said differently, you know, you have to pair, well, either yj eliminates the yl and yi eliminates the yk, or the other way around. So you get twice this 1/2 factor. So that's the end result. This does it, okay? This does the computation, it's the computation we need. But let me write it in a slightly more invariant way. Now I'm becoming a mathematician again. For a physicist, that's as good as anything. So better yet, suppose I have phi 1 and phi 2 elements of the dual of a vector space. And suppose you have a matrix lambda defining a quadratic form on the vector space. So lambda is a linear transformation going from V to V dual. That's what defines a quadratic form, right? Because how would you get a quadratic form? You will take V goes to, you apply lambda to V, you get an element of V dual, and an element of V dual can be paired with an element of V. So V goes to V evaluated on lambda V, lambda of V, or paired with lambda of V, is a quadratic form. Now, I want the quadratic form to be symmetric. So I want this map to be symmetric. What does it mean for a map from a vector space to its dual to be symmetric? It means that the adjoint, well, what is the adjoint? The adjoint is a map from, well, it's the adjoint will be a map from V double dual to V, sorry, to V dual. Right, I have to reverse the order of the spaces and take the dual of each one. So it will be V double dual to V dual. But V double dual is equal to V, at least in the finite dimensional case. So the condition should be that lambda dual should be lambda, the adjoint of lambda should be lambda. And furthermore, I want it to be positive definite. And positive definite. What does positive definite mean? It means the corresponding quadratic form is positive definite. Meaning V paired with lambda V is greater than zero if and only if V is not equal to zero. Okay? Sorry, this is lowercase v, not the vector space. This is the vector v. Okay? Okay, so given all of this, I can write the analog of this integral in an abstract way. So, and let me make one further definition. So let z be the integral, basically the constant term here, the integral that you get without any prefactor. So z is simply the integral over the vector space v of dx. I guess let me change to calling the variable in the vector space x. E to the minus 1/2 x evaluated on lambda x. It's really lambda x evaluated on x, but it's the same. Okay? So now my conclusion is, so now my rewriting of this formula is that z inverse times the integral over all x's in V of dx of e to the minus 1/2 x dot lambda x times phi 1 of x times phi 2 of x is equal to take phi 2, evaluate it on lambda inverse. So phi 2 is a linear functional, lambda inverse takes linear functionals to elements of V, and then an element of V can be evaluated on phi 1. Okay? Can be paired with a phi 1, with an element of V dual. So this is the exact same formula as was written here. Okay? Are you agreeing? Are you okay with this? So then the moral is that, let Z inverse, let Z of gamma 1, gamma 2 be defined by this formula. So it will be the integral dA e to the I over 4 pi, the integral of A wedge dA, the integral over gamma 1 of A, the integral over gamma 2 of A. So here I'm thinking of the vector space V as being the vector space of one forms on R3. This is a linear functional on one form. This is another linear functional on one form. This is a quadratic form. The I will sort of pretend, well, analytically continue these formulas. And then I want z of this to be z inverse times this where z is defined to be the same integral but without z's. Okay? The conclusion is that this is up to a constant, the constant coming from the fact that I've thrown here an I and a 4 pi. So up to a constant, oops, sorry, 2 tau. The moral is that up to a constant, this should be equal to, well, the pairing of the linear functional gamma 1 with whatever the inverse of the quadratic form is. So the quadratic form is defined by d, so it should be d inverse, with gamma 2. But this is loose. Okay? And now I have to make it, I have to read it more carefully and try to make it more precise. Yes?
About the top line here, how do you get lambda inverse then?
Lambda inverse?
Yeah, like...
Here? Yes. Oh, because this is, it's coming from this lambda, which is lambda inverse.
You just rewrote that formula in those terms?
Yeah.
Okay.
The formula there is the same as the formula here. Just.
I was just thinking you derived it in a different way.
No. I've copied this formula to here, but written it in an abstract way. Okay. So this is sort of loose, but now I have to make it. The operator being inverted is not quite D, it's wedging with D. Gamma 1 and gamma 2 are not one forms, sorry, are not linear functionals on V. They are linear functionals on V once you integrate. So I have to think carefully about how to interpret all of this. So let's do this thinking, but I will have only 3 minutes, so I will not really finish it. So let's do it more precisely. So lambda, the thing that, okay, so I want to rewrite the quadratic form in the Gaussian here as so I want to rewrite A wedge dA as the pairing of A with an operator applied to A. Okay? So my first thing is to, so where lambda, where lambda goes from one forms on R3 into the dual of one forms on R3. Right? But what is the dual of one forms? So there are two good candidates for what the dual space of one forms is. Okay, so one candidate is, well, how do you get a linear functional on one forms? So there are two ways to get it. One is, suppose you have a flow on R4, or rather a chain on R3, then integrating a one form on a chain gives a number. So an individual chain is an element of the dual space. But you see, any path, for example, will be an element of the dual space. But I don't have to take a single path. I can take a linear combination of paths, a very big linear combination of paths. So one candidate for the dual of one forms is the space of so-called currents. Okay, so a current, it's time to stop, I'll say one more word. So a current is, it's just that, okay? Basically a flow represented by a combination of chains, or an infinite combination of chains. And the other good candidate for what is the dual of one forms is two forms. Because the moment you have a two form, you can wedge it with a one form, integrate it, and get a number. So the dual of one forms is also two forms. So next time, I will have to tell you how precisely to identify these two. Then I will have to tell you that, when viewed as a map from omega 1 to omega 2, lambda is precisely d. So the inverse of lambda is precisely d inverse. Except d inverse isn't quite well defined, we'll have to talk about it. And then I can really pair, a path is a current. A path in R3 is a current. So it makes sense to evaluate d inverse on a current. The result would be a one form. It makes sense to evaluate it on another current. So all of this makes sense, and then the claim will be that it will come out to be what we wanted. Okay? But this will have to happen next time. Okay. So let's stop now.